Sorry.
Okay, at this point, we're going to call the meeting to order, the board of directors of Discovery Bay. Would you please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Peace?
Here.
Vice President Lee?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Okay, at this point, we're going to open up to public comments. Public to speak about anything that's not on the agenda. I have a card here from Randy Zero.
Zero.
Zero. You want to talk about? There are 3 minutes.
Thank you, partner. Okay. I was here last month and I presented the board with a copy of what we wanted to propose at Cornell Park for extra pickleball. Courts over there on the existing tennis court. At that time, there was 2 or 3 of you that weren't here last month, so Rick Howard told me to bring it into the budget meeting, which we did. I'm sure you heard the proposal from President Randy at that time. So I have met with Rick recently, and he has told me that we were going to scrap that issue over at Cornell Park and give us two tennis nets over here, numbers 3 and 4, at the tennis courts. So the reason why I'm here is to make sure that we can go forward with that proposal, and because we can't, we have quite a bit of a crack, which you have seen on the on that paper that I showed you over there at Cornell Park. So the only reason why I'm here is to find out what's going on here with the proposal to move forward before 4 new courts over here at the community center here. So that's why I'm here, to find out where that is going. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. We have that hasn't been brought to the board. It's amongst a lot of projects that we're going to look at, and no decision been made formally at this time.
Mr. President, members of the board, like, things not here. We actually have an item on the agenda tonight that discusses this. It's a little bit further down on the agenda, so we can talk about it at that point in time.
Okay, we're going to move to presentations. We have a representative from PG.
Yes, sir.
Going to give us an update on the gas line maintenance project.
Right. Thanks for having me, everybody. It's formal to say, but just wanted to give you folks an update on the two distribution projects we have. It's actually really one big distribution project. We split into two to so that we could have more crews on site to have it go a little, hopefully, faster than the Discovery Bay Boulevard project that we had last year. This year we're going to be working on the Willow Lake Road and River Lake Road segment of that neighborhood. I'm sure everyone recalls the work we did on Discovery Bay Boulevard and all the adjacent courts and streets. It's going to be pretty much the same thing. We have more resources towards that work this year. So hopefully, like I said, it will go a little smoother. What to expect, pretty similar to the work we did last year. We're going to try to limit the amount of plates on the road. I know that was a huge thing, but unfortunately, you know, when we have the access to those excavations, we have to plate it. But like I said, when we can, we will use temporary patching to make the road smooth while we're working. This work starts next week. Where the starting point, I'm not sure yet. I'm not even sure if it's been marked out yet, but sometime next week is what we're aiming to do. The outreach I've conducted, I've sent letters out to all the residents, all the affected residents. On that letter, it has my contact info, which is my direct line. So anybody has any questions or comments, concerns, they have my direct line, I can work directly with them. Also, we're going to be broadcasting an IVR. It's an automated phone call that folks know the day before we mobilize. So that's the update I have. If open up any questions.
Did you, for the record, give us your direct phone number?
My direct phone number is 925-348-3532. And my email is j5lr@ebe.com. It's also on the letter. I apologize, I left my cards on my desk. But any and all questions, pass my number up to neighbors and friends. And, I'm happy to help, this work. We do realize it's very impactful. But we try to mitigate that impact. And my job is to help.
Smooth
things out. So I'm pretty much the public relations person for the project. I'll be on site probably a couple times a week, so folks will start to get to know me. I got to know a lot of folks on the Discovery Board.
Did they throw rocks at you?
No. Folks have been really good. Matter of fact, the crews complimented very nice and very accommodating given the circumstances. So we do appreciate that.
How long do you think the project will last? It's going to start the next week or two.
The project will go deep into the summer, and that's just the work on the lines. Restoration will go a month or two past that, and that's totally subcontracted to us.
Quick question for you out of that little mass side of town. Is it just Willow? I don't know what happened over there. Mm-hmm. So is it just Willow Lake that's affected, or
River Lake and Willow Lake, and then Beaver Lane and all the ports off of it, Starboard, Drake's, Marlin.
Nothing on Marina, huh?
You can see a lot of markings on your road.
it should be marked out. So,
well, there's a lot of orange flags at the end of the street, but none on our street. So I'm thinking
it would look like you're in good shape.
Hey, Julian, can you give your name for the record so that they can have a name to go with the phone number?
Oh, sure. Julian Laxton, LACSON.
Thank you. Okay, we're now going to go to presentation and going to review the draft 5-year water and wastewater rate study.
As Allison Lehovitz from Barter Wells is coming to the podium, I'm going to go ahead and on the screens, the power play on that. It picks up on the audio, but can you speak up a little bit, maybe?
Okay, I will try. All right. The town last approved inflationary rate increases, but there's a need to reevaluate the rates based on some recent developments. Most importantly, the drought. And tonight I have the pleasure of discussing the drought in a rainstorm. So The town's water conservation target is 29%, so that's a pretty significant reduction in water use. And so when we think about the financials of the water utility, that's a lot of revenue that the town would be collecting. So you collect revenue based on how much water you sell. If you're selling less water, you're collecting less revenue. But the costs of maintaining the water system are still there. The majority of the cost is keeping pipes in the ground, the wells and the pumps ready to go. So there's a need to reevaluate the rate structure based on the drought. There's also a need to fund new regulatory requirements and capital improvements. Well 8, the water meter rollout program, and the wastewater filter project. We didn't have these projects in our planning horizon when we did the last rate study. So these are new costs that the town will need to fund. So we assume that the town would fund the cost of the water meter, the meters themselves, as well as the installation over a 10-year period. So this next fiscal year would be the rollout of the program, who's on the ground installing meters, and then the fiscal year after that, everyone would transition off of the unmetered rate schedule onto the new metered rates. So there would be a transition period. And so I understand that the town will conduct public education, explaining how the new meters would work and giving people information about their water use. And with the financing charges, so over the 10-year period, we are estimating a new monthly charge of $7.43, and that's to recover the cost of installing the meter. So that would be paid monthly over a 10-year period. So this new water rate study accounts for the new well 8 costs and normal increases in operations. It also includes new costs for administration and billing, and that's because of the transition of the unmetered customers to metering. Water conservation due to the drought. So as I said, we have the fixed costs of the water system, and now we have a smaller base of water use to spread those costs over, so that results in a higher rate. And our water rate study also looked at fire protection costs. So there's a difference in cost between irrigation customers who do not pay fire service and everyone else that does pay fire service. So we just looked at a new methodology for that, reflecting industry best practices. So your water rate structure includes a fixed charge based on meter size. So even if you don't use any water, you pay a base fixed charge. And that helps recover costs of the pipes in the ground, all that infrastructure that's sitting there. And so currently, most customers pay $9. $9.98, and that base rate is proposed to increase to $14.07 over the next fiscal year, so that starts July 1st. And then the year after that, proposed to increase to $16.34. And it's really critical, especially in times of drought, to focus on the fixed charges, because that provides revenue stability. And so we're also proposing an increase to the usage rate, and so that's at the very bottom of the chart. So currently you charge $1.51 per 100 cubic feet of water, and that's proposed to increase to $1.61 and then $1.90 over the next 2 years. So the second set of charts that says non-irrigation, that was a typo, it should be irrigation meters. Those fixed charges for irrigation customers are also proposed to increase. And you can see that the rate is more significant, and that reflects the change in methodology for the fire service. Turns out that fire service is not as expensive as previously assumed, and so irrigation customers are need to recover the cost burden. The unmetered charges are also proposed to increase, and it's important to note that for this coming fiscal year, we're proposing increases, and then the year after that, everyone would be here. So that's why off on the right there, it says metered, everyone would transition at that point, and so that unmetered rate schedule would just be eliminated. So I wanted to give some examples of typical bills. So the typical customer right now, the metered customer, uses 1,550 feet of water monthly and pays a bill of $32.66. The typical unmetered customer pays $41.56. So under the proposed rates, the typical metered customer would pay about $6 more per month, and the typical unmetered customer would pay about $5 more per month. So I discussed earlier, once folks transition, they'll pay a new meter payback charge of $7.43. So once that charge is factored in, the total bill of the customer who had transitioned to metered service would be pretty close to the unmetered service charge. So even though that $7.43 seems like a large number, actually the comparable hypothetical bill would be pretty similar between unmetered and metered service. And this chart shows where the town of Discovery Bay's rates, current rates and proposed rates, compare to other local agencies. And water service is very affordable for this region. So the black arrows are Discovery Bay's current water bills for metered service, or metered and then proposed metered. And then the gray arrows are the unmetered current and then unmetered proposed. So even with the increases, the bills are still very comparable to other local agencies. So for wastewater service, there are also proposed increases for operational cost increases. And the filter project is assumed to be financed. And when we think about the drought, we always think about water. People use less water. That only impacts the water system. But commercial sewer customers are charged based on their water use. And so there's also an impact to the sewer fund in a drought scenario. So we have to account for that as well. And so the proposed increases for the sewer rates are proposed to be 11% in fiscal year 2017 and 11% again in 2018. And so that's an increase of about $7 and then about $8. And so the town of Discovery Bay's sewer rates are fairly expensive for this region. You can see that the typical bill is at the high end of the survey range. But when we combine both water and sewer, so the blue is water and the green is the sewer portion of the total utility bill, the total combined bill for this area is pretty moderate in the middle range of the 12 range. So even with increases, the typical bill would be fairly moderate in the middle range. So again, this is just an informational presentation to give an update on what we've been doing on the rate study and to get some initial feedback and answer questions.
Any questions from the board?
Absolutely. A question. On the wastewater side, where in the comparison to other agencies we're a bit on the high side, can you describe what one or two of the elements that drive that difference between us and perhaps other regional agencies?
So past financing, so some agencies have been really successful at getting grants and getting low interest loans from the state and principal forgiveness, all these kind of subsidized programs. And everybody has different permitting and regulatory requirements too.
This presentation was given to the wastewater committee, and Belarus came up as one of the factors. It's kind of folks are paying Belarus fees, and some of those costs are combined with Belarus and don't show up in the chart.
You can come back for it.
If I may.
Sure.
I just want to point out, we talked early on about conservation, and I think it's important to point out that conservation of water is not necessarily a cost-saving function. It's a water-saving function. It's something we all need to do in the community in order to maintain and be proper stewards of the resources we're given. But it won't necessarily mean that rates go down because we still have the infrastructure to support. So as we go forward, I think it's important when we educate that we talk about how conservation is the right thing to do because we have a limited resource here in the state, especially recently. But it doesn't necessarily, it's not a way to save money.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mr. President, this item will be coming back to you on a number of occasions over the next few months. It will be a regular Prop 218 hearing process. And Rod, our attorney, can explain how that goes, but it's probably going to be about a 90 to 120 day process. So the proposal would be that these would become effective on July 1st, and you have until about the end of July in order to complete the process.
The only thing that I would like to discuss or have discussed in this when we bring it up is how we're going to pay for it. I'm dead against financing this for 10 years and taking another loan when we could actually, if we talked about paying for this. We never actually agreed on financing this for 10 years, am I correct? Okay, so we'll come back for discussion.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's all I need.
That's what I mean. Okay. Any other comments? Seeing none, well, thank you very much for your presentation. We'll see you on the next door.
Thank you, Allison.
Okay, we're going to go to President's Report, Director Comments. I don't have anything to report. Anybody else have?
I attended the LAPCO meeting on the 10th, and we discussed the UBI meeting. You guys have all been updated on that, so.
And I attended the San Joaquin County LAPCO meeting last Thursday, where they agreed to give up their
jurisdiction,
thank you, from San Joaquin County to Contra Costa County with regards to the BVID, understanding that we were not at all in their region, and therefore they should have nothing to say about what goes on from tax bases over here. So our lap goes very clear to move forward with BVID as they see fit.
Yes.
I just want to point out that most of us attended the State of the Town. There. We had a great time. It was a wonderful event. And for those of you who missed it, you missed it.
That's good.
It was a good one. I forgot all about that. So, okay, we're going to move on to the consent calendar. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, that brings us to business and action items. Bring that to Manager Howard, the proposal from Contra Library System.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As the board may or may not be aware, back in about 2009, 2010, the county installed a library, a go-go system. It's more like a red box for books over at the Sandy Cove Shopping Center. Evidently, that machine was built on a Monday after Super Bowl, and it was fraught with issues, and it never really succeeded very well. They approached us about a month or two ago with the request to install a drop-off box here, so residents could go online, they could reserve a book or a periodical or a movie online, it would be dropped off here to our desk on a weekly basis. When the residents were done using them, they would drop them off at the front in a drop box, and then the county would come in and remove them. And so the county library system is looking for a location for that to take place, and they came to us as a perfect opportunity to use the community center, and I think it's a good process and a good way to provide an additional service here at the community center for the public. So. There's an agreement that's here in place, a proposal that's here, and what I recommend is that if the board wants to move this forward, that the general manager, Catherine, interim general manager, work with the library system staff members to facilitate this transaction.
Okay, any public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. The board,
Sounds like a great idea. Yeah, we just said, where are you going to put it?
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea.
Right outside the front door.
Is it secure? They won't break in?
It's a big lock box. It's bolted to the ground in concrete. Right. And they're those, almost like a bank lock box.
Is there any staff required time at all?
No, that was one of our concerns, actually. They originally wanted to do it all inside. And one of the suggestions we had is if you can drop off the books at the front counter, then as people come in to retrieve them, our staff here at the district could go ahead and hand them out, and then it's up to the resident to return them in a timely manner. And no money changes hands. There's no money changes hands.
We're just issuing the books. Yeah.
We don't collect the late fees.
Can I?
Okay, so.
Can I? I'm from the library. I drafted a little draft brochure.
I didn't see. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm Liz, and it's a draft, and it's based on in Rossmore they do the same thing. It's called Books to Go. So I sort of copied their brochure, and you'll see Books to Go in there. But this will be called the Discovery Bay Library Connection.
All right. And that sounds like it should be able to be worked out, and certainly you'd be able to put the connection onto our website. So that,
absolutely.
Yeah, residents could go on the website if they didn't know about the library connection. Thank
and
you.
Just one other thing, we're just going to focus on things that check out for 3 weeks at first, so DVDs wouldn't be a part of that. I'm going to push for that, but for now it'll be books on CD, and music.
Okay. Great, thank you.
We need a motion for the door.
Yes.
I'll make that motion that we allow the general manager to work with the Contra Costa Library System to provide limited library service in Discovery Bay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the next item is consideration of facilities upgrade for wastewater treatment plant 2 and the community center. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As you recall, at the board workshop, we brought to you a number of items, and one of them had to do with unanticipated one-time revenues that we received. Coincidentally, 100% of them came from PG&E, $327,411 for our acceptance of water at our wastewater treatment plants, as well as a $5,000 grant. For the use of the community center during their gas outage, and the $17,000 Roberta Fest hot lot grant where they agreed to purchase the equipment. Staff recommends that one-time revenues be used on one-time expenses and not ongoing operations for obvious reasons. We have three projects at the wastewater treatment plant that we would recommend. One is to add insulation to the parking cover. Second is to replace the aggregate base in the parking cover, the concrete, if you recall. When we approved that project, we pulled out the concrete or the asphalt, and we substituted that with base rock, knowing that at some point in time in the future, we would come back to do that. As well as a third project would be to add asphalt to comply with the notice of violation that we received at the biosolid station. If you recall, that number when you first saw it was about $70,000. We've received some other bids, and it's significantly lower than that. And I think $40,000 has actually been changed on the next slide, so I believe it's $27,000. At the community center, there's a number of projects, if you recall, that we discussed. One is to add the small dog area to the dog park. That $10,000 is not included in the numbers because I'm confident that between our corporate sponsors that we would be able to raise those funds, and three of them are actually in the room tonight. Veolia, Herbert Engineering, as well as Miller and Beardsley. Thank you. To install an ADA ramp. My parting gift to you.
Thanks. Did you lock the front doors when you came out?
Yeah. No pressure, but it's not in the budget.
His last day is when?
Possibly tonight.
That's like a great idea.
Man of motions.
To add an ADA ramp, accessible ramp, and gated pool area. We've had a couple of individuals that have tried to eat last summer in wheelchairs, and we've assisted them in accessing the pool area. There are lighting issues, as you know, here. When you leave tonight, it's going to be very dark out front. We'd like to replace and improve the lighting in the front as well as improve the lighting out back. Some of that will be done by in-house staff, and some of it will be done by contract. On the out, when you exit the building, on these two doors over here, as well as, I believe, the back door in the back. No, just these two. Just these two doors here. There are what are called concrete trippers, and they are out of place. They're cracked, and they do not fit their locations any longer. And they need to be replaced from a tripping standpoint. We need to get those replaced. The pool enclosure that we all know is out there and is in disrepair. About $56,000 to do that was the bid we received for that. The poolside furnishings, we thought we would use, we recommend that we use the $5,000 community center grant to be able to improve our customer experience out by the pool with improved benches, pool shade structure, umbrellas, as well as some chaise lounges. Repair the poolside, the south side access gate. Repair the barbecue area, which gets a lot of use and in fact generates a significant amount of income for the community center. And then we get to the tennis courts 3 and 4. If you recall at the workshop, a representative of the pickleball club came and discussed and sought board support to renovate or fix the two pickleball courts that are out there that have cracks going down the sides of them. And if you may recall at that time, I mentioned to you that we would recommend that you essentially crack seal and paint those and convert courts 3 and 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 have already been renovated here at the community center, and renovate courts 3 and 4 to be used as pickleball courts. And that would put, I believe, 4 courts at that location. A little bit of money to purchase some archery equipment for the archery program. The big ticket item is a new community center roof, about $75,000. We have some bids, and that's the low end of the bids. And that number may change a little bit once we get into them. And then replace the play structure at the top line. When you add it all up, the project costs at the wastewater treatment plant about $75,000. Project costs here are about $372,000. We have revenues of $349,000. We have a deficit of about $22,000. So that's our delta on those projects. You get a lot of bang for your money on them, and you can certainly use the difference. You can use the community center construction money, the money that we have on account, to fund that deficit if you so choose. What I would recommend, if the board wants to pursue these, some of these would have to come back. Some of them would be bid items. They'd have to go through the bidding process, for example, the roof and the structure as well. And those items would come back. Any items that would be under $10,000, we would just move forward with once we get board concurrence to move these projects forward. So that's our report this evening, and we're certainly opened up any questions you may have. And we are also anticipating additional PG&E revenues. Bernie, do you happen to know how many loads they've dropped off lately, or have they started yet?
They're done. They only hauled for 3 days.
Okay. So it's going to be minimal.
No.
Okay. So we have a good opportunity to take care of, knock off a lot of items that we have not had the money to do previously. So with that, we'll answer any questions.
Board, have any questions before we go to public?
My question has to do with the pickleball courts. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 have already been resurfaced here.
1, 2, 5, 6, 7, and 8. I'm sorry.
Okay, that makes sense now. My other concern is that we have pickleball courts that are already constructed at an alternate location, which I don't know how that works with the pickleball people, but that are in disrepair, apparently. Are we just going to let those go and remain in disrepair, or How are we addressing that issue?
We would crack seal the cracks, and we would probably paint over those cracks and let those courts be used as rec for rec play.
Can we just level them?
And then the thought was that the pickleball group is getting a lot of use. I mean, they really are. It's picked up a lot more. When this came to the board a few years ago, there was a lot of question, are people going to use it? I'm telling you, they're using it. And I think it's, if you want to go in that direction, courts 3 and 4, you have 8 courts here. You don't really need 8 tennis courts. 6 courts is great. 4 courts is great. And it would be, if you're going to renovate the other courts, the suggestion would be to renovate them for someone who would get a lot of use out of them.
We're going to open up a public comment here to pickleball folks to address their concerns about the 2 concepts in this part. Is there any other than pickleball, any other questions?
I've got a question, and it does pertain to that, so it needs to be answered. The other 2 courts that are in disrepair, how many courts do we actually need for pickleball?
1 full-size court that we have here, okay, so let's say court 3 would get 2 pickleball courts on it. So if you convert courts 3 and 4 strictly to pickleball, you get 4 courts out of it.
Is that what we need? Is 4 courts? Is that the maximum?
That's the max you can get out of courts 3 and 4.
I know, but I mean, is that what they're asking for? Is 4 courts to play on?
No, that was just. If you're going to renovate 1 court, you do both of them.
The reason I ask this question is because in the old ones that are in disrepair, we've learned in the past that you can't seal them and paint them because they're going to crack right back again, and we're going to just do it over and over again. And if it's that, we would almost be better off taking those courts and putting them back to tennis, or doing something other than keep spending money on them when they keep cracking if we're going to renovate 4 of them here.
Yeah, the only, my caution to that would be, you have, those courts are open 7 days a week, and they never close. Our courts here close sometimes. So on Sunday afternoons when we're closed, during the wintertime, someone might want to go play pickleball or play tennis, and then they got an opportunity to do so. I don't know how much use the pickleball courts get from rec players, non-club group, during the course of a week. But I know the club group uses it pretty much daily.
Okay, 4 or 5 days a week. I think the reason I'm asking is because if this is the case, then we needed to get a real figure of what it's going to take to fix the 2 courts that are in disrepair. And instead of coming in every 3 months, when we have to reseal them at 10 grand or whatever we're spending every 3 months, or 5 months or 6 months. So we know what we're doing. We're spending the ratepayers' money, and I think they have a right to know what we're spending.
The tennis court bid is a bid that we received from the vendor that did the renovated courts 1 and 2.
Yeah, but he cracked them. We don't want him.
No, the guy, courts 1 and 2, right here.
No, I'm talking about the...
Yeah. So courts 3 and 4 here, you can leave them in their current condition that they're in and not spend any money on them, and nobody uses them.
No, we should fix them.
Okay. You can convert them to tennis courts, or you can convert them to pickleball courts. The cracks that are in there, they don't look good, and the pickleball courts players will have an opinion as to their functionality. And I've heard from a number of them telling me how difficult it is to play. I've been out there, I've stepped on them, I pulled my foot over, and I measured the break. They're very, it's very minimal. It's long, I'll give you that. It runs the whole length of the court. See, there's a difference in opinion. However, I think with crack sealing, relatively minor maintenance, Brian, you can get those things in pretty decent repair and pretty decent use.
It's something that needs to be done and will be done.
Water will continue to get in there and will cause more problems.
Yeah, drainage is a problem at a lot of our facilities.
Okay, so just bring us a real figure of what that's going to take. I mean, that's, so we know what we're spending here and spending there.
Yeah,
we can do that.
The bid for the pickleball courts here is a real figure. I haven't got a maintenance bid on the pickleball court at the Cornell Park yet, but I will. I'm waiting for the weather to turn.
So currently we have 1 tennis court and 2 pickleball courts at Cornell, is that correct?
Yes. And the tennis court is in actually really good condition. There's no cracks at all.
So it's the pickleballer's fault.
Yes.
Yeah. Quit cracking the courts, man.
Thank you. I think this is a great proposal, and those expenses, the overage is a little bit hard to handle right now, but I think we should also have the plan also to make sure that Cornell gets back to at least to a B level playing area for this. So whatever that takes.
I'm going to open up the public comment on the proposal items, any public comment at all?
Well, like I said, we don't really care if you give us Cornell or give us this one here. It doesn't matter to us, okay? Whatever's in the budget, whatever you want to do for the surface, and put them back in order that we can play on. So that's all we're looking for right now. Yes, Kevin.
But you want four courts?
At least.
Okay.
And we're still growing, so. I'm holding back on saying, yeah, give me six, and then I'm going, okay, now we're getting you only have enough allocated for four, and then in 2 years I'm going to come back and say, by the way, we should have went two more. So it's the fastest growing sport. I mean, it's phenomenal. People are just coming. We have 52 people right now in our club, so. And we're just talking more or less every day. People got about six from Brentwood. One guy came from Tracy because he couldn't get going in Tracy. Nobody wants to start nothing in Tracy. So tournament-wise, if we do a tournament, which that's what we're looking forward to, we can't do one right now at Cornell Park because it's crap. If that ball hits there, then everybody's going to claim, oh, it hit the crack. Oh, it hit the crack. Well, now we take it over. No, not the tournament. You don't do that. So that's the issue I have about the crack. Okay? You want to repair the crack, and you have our proposal. Give us four at Cornell. I don't have a problem with that, okay? I don't have a problem with that at all. And I don't have a problem with coming over here. But I'm in between, and Kevin, I think I know where you're going since you said there was already four or five courts that had already been renovated. I don't care which court you give us, okay? If you don't want to renovate three or four, give us five or six. I don't care. Give us one or two. It doesn't matter to us. So that's the issue that we're at right now. But to just continue playing with what's over there, and we're going to just keep building, we're going to have a problem as far as people. Because we get 21 to 25 on a Saturday alone. Well, we only have two courts, only eight people can play. Okay, so you got a lot of sitting out is what the problem is. So once again, I don't care which way you go with this, as far as where you want to put us, but I would like you to consider this issue, please. Thank you.
Did I hear on the proposal that we received that some of the club might participate in financing some of the repairs?
What we were going to do, what our club was going to do, is if you were going to give us the four courts that we're asking for the tennis existing court over there, we as a club would provide the nets, which are there about $500 or $600 a pop. So that's what our proposal was, to provide the nets. You give us the rest, because that's another $1,200 out of your budget that we could probably come up with as a club.
We'll take it.
That's where that number came in.
Okay, we'll highly consider that.
Yeah, we accept your offer, because we're going to need nets for these courts, if we do these courts. So
yes.
If you want to contribute, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You
said everybody
else
is contributing somehow, some way. Yeah. Anybody that hasn't contributed, you might want to get out of here.
So I just wanted to add to what Randy said, and also from the pickleball club, that
let's see, it comes up.
To reiterate what we said before, so while we would love to have courts here in the city center, and I think it would increase the number of players because more people would be exposed to it, we are also really, really, really adamant that we would like to continue to have the courts at Cornell, because we do, people that come and play after work, a lot of us play in the morning on Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday, but because of people's different work schedules, people do play Wednesday late into the evening, and Sunday for sure is a popular day for people that come out in individual groups, not necessarily club play and play. So it is very important to a lot of us to see that that those courts are maintained to the best of our ability, and we can continue to help with that. And we certainly are seeing new players come all the time. I started playing about a year and a half ago, and since I'm not an old timer now because there are so many new players. So just
want
to make sure that you guys are aware.
Really
appreciate
everything that we can get. Thanks. All right, any other public comments?
Sure. Regardless of where we put the pickle courts, we do need to repair the existing pickle court, and we'll address that. All tennis courts
whether it's tennis, pickleball, whatever, do need maintenance over time. They do crack over time. So regardless of which courts we use, they're all going to need maintenance. There will be resealing, relining. It's pretty common. It depends on the usage.
Right. Do you feel that being get a call somewhere on repair for Cornell by our next meeting?
Yeah, I get you.
Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for discussion.
Yeah, the one thing I'd like to, I don't know if it has to go under this list, but I think it's something that's neglected that needs to be taken care of, and that's the flagpole situation here at the community center. It's improperly lighted. It has issues with regards to the location, and that needs to go on a list of things that needs to be done at some point in time. This is a community building.
I believe it's included as part of the lighting improvements that were discussed.
I've actually got a spot for it that I'm going to install.
Okay, great. That's all I want to say.
We're going to take the existing pole down and relocate it? Or?
No, we're going to leave the existing pole where it is. I'm going to try to spot from the existing boxes out there.
Take the lighting aspect of it.
Yeah, the spotlight would come on automatically with the rest of the lighting that the community center.
Okay.
Huh?
Is that what you're looking for?
It's just not properly taken care of now, so the best thing to do is not even put the flag up because it just doesn't get lit up properly.
Yeah, we're going to put it up until we get that spot addressed.
Thank you.
I'll try to get to it next week.
You might want to talk to the Eagle Scouts have been pretty good about doing flagpole. They put two of them up in town here already. They may have another Eagle Scout project, you know?
Yeah, there's some lighting problems there too, though. But I
don't know. Oh, over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other board comments? The only item that I didn't see on there was discussion on the barbecue pits.
It's number eight.
There it is, number eight.
We just put it up just now.
We just redid that slide just to mess you up.
Perfect.
Bill's going to kick into 7,500 himself.
So,
yeah, now it's in the budget. Everybody's got to contribute.
Thank you.
So, what I would recommend, if you want to move forward with these projects in knowing that there is a deficit, the ones that are over 10,000 are going to come back to you for board authorization approval. The ones that are under 10,000, we can go ahead and move those forward and do them in-house, issue contracts and POs to do those. So what's your pleasure in how we do this? Do you want us to move forward with these projects? Do you want us to come back with them? Do you want us to...
Where do you pull the 22 grand out of?
I would recommend you pull it out of the community center budget that has about $450,000 in it, Dina.
We should go ahead with
it. Yes, it does.
About
$450,000. Go ahead. You have a motion?
I'm going to make a motion that we approve the projects listed there to the extent that funds are available, including the $22,000 coming from the community center, and that the board, as the projects move forward, want to make perhaps a monthly or question on the basis, come back with us and tell us what the status is, so if there's any mid-course corrections that are required, that the board can take that action at that time.
Right. Or any huge discrepancies on pricing.
The roof is going to be the one up there, just so you
know.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move to item number three, board to change order for the wastewater treatment plant equipment cover. Staff.
Thank you, District Engineer Gregory Harris is coming up, and this has to do with the parking garage change orders that we're recommending that we just discussed on the item before.
Not why I went deep dry, as long as you can approve things. You just approved that list, two items on that list, to go with a concrete floor and the equipment cover and add insulation to the building so that it doesn't rattle when the wind blows. We have hard costs on those from the contractor. $8,600 for the insulation, $27,000 for the concrete. The whole building floor that we've talked at some point just doing part of it, that would be the whole floor for the building. So we're asking for approval on that change order so I can.
And the source of funds for that is the PG&E monies we just discussed.
Do we have have any public comment? Seeing none, the board?
Move staff recommendation.
Second. Move and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're going to move to item number four, adoption of resolution amending the town charter day employee personnel policy manual.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The last time the board saw this item was back in June of 2015. There was a minor change to the personnel policy at that time. Subsequent to that, and I'm not exactly sure how we missed it when we originally drafted it, but the section on jury duty stated that the town does not compensate employees when they are called for jury service. And so we're recommending that the policy be amended to compensate employees up to 5 days annually. Generally speaking, today you have one jury service. If you get called and you don't sit on a jury, you're done for the year, one day. If you do get seated on a jury, propose that you would compensate employees up to 5 days a year. And so we're just looking for comment, input, and approval.
I think it's a good idea.
Public comment. Any public comment?
It should be done.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
It's a painless thing, right?
No, it's not for some people, right? Check that. It's not painless.
Hey, quiet. I'm going to go to informational items. Are there any informational items that we need to know about? Seeing none, we'll have the Neolia report.
Thank you. So, in the month of January, we continue our safe practices of 106,000 hours of work safely with employees. Continue our monthly safety training. All reports, monthly and quarterly reports, were submitted along with the annual report to the state on time. On the water side, all wells are running. We produced a little 20 million gallons of water in January. Go back T issue. There's our chart for the last, go back from now, we like 2016. You can see the purple now of 2016, water reflection of the month. And for the month of January, we were around 24% reduction compared to 2013. We recycled a little over 2 million gallons at the wastewater plant, which we reused in the wastewater plant. We're back on track on our NPDES permit, well below our permit limits. No issues on our permit. All back T's on the wastewater side, we're good. Treated a little close to 40 million gallons of wastewater. We are starting our flushing program, so you'll see the truck out in the next couple of months. Flushed a little over 7,000 feet in January. And the CCTV truck has been out here for the last few weeks, TV and some spots, a little over 10,000 feet TV and 15 manholes inspected. And work maintenance continues to catch up and stay on top of any backlog and maintenance equipment. And the last one is an overview of Plant 2 as it runs today.
Thanks. All right, we put that on our
list.
Do we have our
list?
That's a good shot.
Yeah,
yeah, it's an awful we can.
Yeah.
Boy, the picture takes 10 pounds off the greenhouse, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the new lab pool.
Yeah, you're talking about a market, so the residents.
Yeah,
I think that's the point of lab pool.
Yeah. It's the new pool at the rec center.
It's the lab pool. It's the rec pool, the kayak pool.
Okay. Bernie, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bernie.
Okay, we have a manager's report.
Yes, I do.
Just point of clarification, we've got a manager's report and a general manager's report. Why do we have two of them?
sometimes managers get up and give reports on some of their operations. Bear with me for a second.
Well, I don't think you're going to be doing this again in front of this board. But that.
We're going to do a good last report.
Yeah. I'm working on it. Taking it on the screen.
Over the joke.
Well, I can tell where, kind of where it's supposed to be on that picture. There's.
Did it pop up?
Yeah. You're up.
All right. As you know, the district office at 1800 Willow Lake Road is 16, 17 years old in that age range. It was used when it was purchased. I'm somewhat hesitant to bring this to you tonight for a couple of reasons. But one of the things we need to do, we need to start thinking about the new district office. And as one of my parting comments to you is, I think that it's something that needs to be discussed by this board. For the long-term future of this district, we're not going anywhere. We're going to function as a public agency until such time as this public agency, if ever, gets gobbled up by another public agency. But in the short term, as you know, we moved our boardroom from over there to over here. And when we did so, we opened up some space. In opening up space, we looked at some different options, and Sue actually designed this all on her own with input. And it takes into consideration our staff, moves staff that isn't currently on site to on site. Virgil especially provides a little bit more breathing room. It provides a conference room. It provides a location where staff can have a bite to eat in private, and it provides a little sitting area where people are waiting. We haven't costed this out. We haven't looked at it from that perspective. And one of the reasons why is because I'm afraid if you do it, you'll never move forward with the new building and we'll be here forever. And so I'm somewhat reluctant to even bring it to you, but at the end of the day, I think it's important that you at least consider something like this moving forward. Another thing to consider is that at some point in time in the foreseeable future.
It's pouring in wind.
Yeah. Speaking of water, in the foreseeable future, the backwash tank over the Willow treatment facility is going to need to be relocated. It's going to be needed to add an additional one there. When that takes place, the footprint for that tank is right where this building is, so it's going to have to go anyway. So you're looking at a probably 5 to 7 year time frame for that to be taking place. We're looking at some other things that the Parks and Rec Committee has been discussing with respect to Fire Station 58, and that'll be coming before you probably in the next month or so. But anyway, I just wanted to bring this to you and want you to think about it. This site is a perfect site to construct a facility that would complement the community center from a long-term standpoint, as well as provide a comfortable place for your staff to work. As you know, that building can get really, really, really hot in the summertime, and in the wintertime it gets really, really cold. You know, the shoulder seasons aren't too bad, but the rest of the year it can be pretty difficult. So that's my comment on that. Not really looking for any input if you want to provide some.
Nice job, Sue.
She did a great job.
The only comment I have is just some of the other board members may not be aware of. Our Parks and Rec manager brought to our Parks subcommittee the need to get his personnel over on this side of town and the need to get some equipment and things undercover over here to be more cost effective, manpower wise, et cetera. We talked about the possibility of leasing a fire station or maybe a lease option to buy. I haven't been in it, but I would like to. It appears that it could be moving forward and might be brought to us for consideration. And what I would like to do is schedule a visit to get inside that building to look at that and see maybe there's a potential to modernize that and do the same concept that we have here, however it lays out, but still have the ability to have our maintenance guys take care of it. So,
You'd have to explain.
That would be my life suggestion. Wait, that we get a little further down the road for a decision.
I think the consolidations is a good idea in the future, making it more efficient for people. And again, our landscape guys on the side of town makes a lot of sense in all the travels they do every day. So I'm hoping that in the near future we can come back to this.
We actually got a draft lease agreement from legal today. Something that might look workable. And so that'll come back before you.
Thank you.
I have one more item.
All right.
I have to say it's been a pleasure. The last 5.5 years have been absolutely amazing. It's going to be really hard to leave. I made some great friends. I've got a great staff. I love you guys so much. And we've accomplished so much as a group. And I'm looking forward to my new opportunity, and I'm looking forward to the future opportunities that come before you. And I look back and you did a great job in your role. And so I just wish you all the best, and thank you for giving your trust in me.
I'd like to, and I think Paul's right, we'll stop to say, but Rick, you really done a fantastic job with where you started from to where we are today. You need to be complimented for that. Very professional. You brought this district from kind of a mom and pop operation, if you will, and we were struggling at that time to now. This district can stand and its operations is fine, and all the things that we do will stand with anybody in the special districts, and you are all of that.
Thank
and,
you.
We wouldn't be here without
you. I'm proud of what we've gotten done.
Yeah, you've done a great job.
And let me just, since I was on the original committee that went looking for somebody 6 years. Actually, I came on board to not look for anybody and ended up looking for somebody. And I want to say that one of the reasons that I really worked with the board at the time to bring Rick on board, we had a couple of really good people to look at, but was because I saw that you were a people person, and this is a people town. And I think you were able to bring that mix between what needed to be done to grow our organization, but do it with a big heart, with caring for your, not only for your people, but caring for everybody in the town by integrating yourself into the town. And I am proud of that decision that we made as a board to bring you on board. And it was good for the town, and it's going to be very difficult for a while to not be able to pop in and pet all of it.
I gotta say, Rick is one of the board members who's been here forever.
You're the only one that's still there.
The board of the time, and I can tell you, and I think you know where you stood with me the whole time. And when you walked in, we interviewed you. You were the third or the fourth person I had greater. I can't remember. And when you walked out, I said, "That's who we should hire." And if we end up bringing you in, and it's been having you here and knowing you as a person, even outside of the business, has been wonderful. I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
And I know you will be. You'll kill it.
Thanks.
We'll miss you.
Thank you.
Yes. Rick, you've just been a great part of the fabric of our community here, and your dedication, whether it's during work hours or after work hours, you've always been made it a part to be a part of what we're all about here. So I just thank you for putting us at the top notch and giving us the leadership and the leadership awards and the training. And you've been a great, I've learned a lot from you, and the community is in a lot better ways for a long time, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I'm a new guy, so I didn't know about all that other stuff, but for the last year, this has been a very professionally run organization. I'm proud to be part of it. I know, Rick, you should be very proud of what you did, and you've left quite a legacy, which I'm sure will be continued, and I wish you the best of success.
And this will always, this is, you're the one that brought us this.
You know, one more thing is, I'm going to tell my staff this when I get a chance to talk to them, but most, with the exception of me, the entire staff, this became a job. A job opening popped up, and they applied for it, and they were fortunate to get it. I'm one of those few people that actually went off to college, went to grad school to get into this profession. As many of you know, I grew up in it, and it's something I take very seriously and very purposely to make sure that I do the best job I can do. And I can honestly say there may have been days I didn't want to pull my butt out of bed, But there wasn't not a day that I looked back on and said, where I regretted going to work. I love this job, and whoever ends up taking my place, I hope that they feel the same way.
They've got some issues to fill. We're going to be very particular on who we bring in. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to Mr. Legal.
Yeah, I'll take the opportunity here for a second. For us, it's obviously a happy and sad day. Not only do I consider Rick a colleague, somebody I've worked with and for a number of years, but also consider him a friend. And so it's a happy day to see him get back to his family and get back where I know some of his heart is as well, as long as it is here. I've probably been around the longest. I've been here 18 years in the trenches. Less time as your direct general counsel, but as special counsel for about 18 years now. So I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we are losing the good for sure. Good luck.
Thanks. Okay, any committee updates?
We had a water, wastewater. We looked at the effect of the rate study. You guys saw most of what we saw, and looking at I think mostly what we covered and some of the things that are going to be coming up with regards to infrastructure. There's going to be some proposals coming to the board in the next 30 to 60 days to look at how we are going to continue to build reliability into our infrastructure.
We also asked staff to kind of push forward the meter rollout program. So we're going to just about put together a proposal, and I'll be going out another Thursday or so and getting that on the road. Okay. Correspondence, we don't have any public records requests. Future agenda items?
Pay attention, Catherine. I don't have to worry about this anymore.
I just turned off your earplugs.
I think we should, on the next agenda, have another discussion, possible action on water conservation. I'm kind of, especially hearing from what Bernie just said, I think people are starting to get to the point now where they're thinking the drought's over, and you're seeing them. It just seems like we're starting to use more water again. We were doing very, very well in our last month. We were, 26%, I think, or 20, less than that.
Right.
And we need to maybe make this priority again before this becomes an issue.
Yeah, I agree you do. But one thing to take into consideration, we knew going into this that November, December, January, and February, people turn off historically. So it's going to be really hard to continue to maintain the 35% conservation rate when people have already historically turned it off. That's why the state made it cumulative over a period of time.
I just want to talk to people again, just so I think even people I've talked to, it's raining now, we don't have to worry about it anymore when we do it. There's something in there. Get the paper, put something in
there. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
All in favor?